Please open up your Bibles today with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is at the near the back, kind of middle back of the New Testament, if you never turned there before. Now, as we continue our study of the basics, foundational truths from God's Word, we are not taking a break from Genesis. If you're thinking, hey, wait a minute, now we're over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 directly connects to our study in Genesis. Now we are digging in to Genesis chapter 1 through 11 as part of this study. And today we are taking what we have learned and considering it from another perspective, a very important and foundational perspective. Now to begin, I want us to consider a verse together, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, this is a very important verse, not just for our study here today, but for your understanding of God, the grasping of your walk with God, as well as your fundamental consideration of who God needs to be in your life. Let's say this text, just the text of the verse together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, to fear the Lord means that you are willing to obey Him and to trust Him. Fearing the Lord means that you respect Him enough to honor Him by heeding His commands and trusting in Him fully. Now, as a side note, if you want to dig in further to what it means to fear the Lord, you can go to the podcast, even on our website, head on over to Moments in Truth, and listen back. In 2024, I did a whole series on learning how to fear the Lord. So I would encourage you to go back and give that a listen. That will really give you the depths of what it means to fear the Lord. But for today, the result of fearing the Lord brings genuine God-given wisdom. And it brings genuine knowledge of God by His gift to us of understanding. The fear of the Lord connects us to God in an incredibly special way, allowing us to literally tap into God's wisdom, His strength, and His understanding when we're in need. Now, those who know the Lord only by book knowledge alone will never be able to fear the Lord. If you only know God by an educated understanding, you will never be able to fear the Lord. To embrace fearing the Lord, you need a firm grasp on faith. Which brings us today to Hebrews chapter 11. Look with me at verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, verse 1 gives us a definition of faith. Faith is trusting in something that you cannot necessarily prove. Faith has substance. It's not just a feeling. Faith is an action word. In order to have faith, you must put trust into something or someone. Everyone has faith in something or someone. Every day of their lives, they prove their faith. Now, when people get out of bed in the morning, they go and use the bathroom, and when they turn the faucet handle to get water, what happens? Water comes out. Do they stand there and doubt that the water will come out? No. In most cases, they have faith and trust that the water will pour from the faucet when they turn the handle. Now, why do they have faith in that? Because they have experienced that reality. Now, we would all agree that the faucet is supposed to produce water. Therefore, we have faith that it will. But it is when we turn the faucet on that we put our trust into action. Let's consider something more simpler. Today you sat down in a chair. all of you are sitting in a chair right now. Now, before you sat down, did you question whether or not the chair would support you? Did you wonder if it would stay in place and be firm while you sat in it? Or did you simply plop in it, putting your trust in it? Now, for those who sat down without questioning the chair, when you did that, you demonstrated faith. Now, intellectually, you recognize that the chair was a device for holding you in place and that it was designed to support the person who sits on it. And then you placed your trust in that chair as you sat on it. You hoped it would hold you and you placed your trust in it, and it did hold you. Now, we live by faith in all areas of our life, all of the time. We put our faith and trust in so many things and also in so many people who have the capacity of letting us down, and yet we still put our faith and trust in them. So why do we struggle so much with putting our genuine faith and trust in God? Look again with me here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So those who walked by faith are remembered, especially when others did not. Look with me at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So by faith, we understand that God spoke everything into existence because the Bible says that he spoke everything into existence. None of us were there to see it actually happen. So if you believe the Bible to be true, by faith, you believe that God brought life into existence in this manner. Look with me at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now, just like how verse 2 identifies that the elders obtained a good testimony, so Abel obtained a good testimony because he did as God instructed. He followed through, and because of his obedience to God, even in his death, he is still remembered. His righteous acts stand out. Even God himself testified of Abel's good sacrifice that he made to God. Look with me at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so they did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now remember that I spoke to you about Enoch, a man that honored God to such an extent that God allowed him to enter into heaven without dying. That shows that he had incredible respect, love, and faith in God, all during a time where the world around him was growing steadily wicked. And instead of him falling to that wickedness, he set himself apart so that he was directly connected with God, so that he thought about God, prayed to God, considered God at all times. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Let's continue in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, speaking of God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we cannot really believe in God without faith. We can believe in the idea of God, but not God himself. We cannot fear the Lord without having genuine faith in him. Consider with me Noah here in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah believed in God. He had faith in God. Noah is also a man known by his testimony. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Think about what a great testimony that is. If you had the opportunity to be in a newer Bible today, where God was writing the chronicles of the lives of the people here in this day and age, would it say that you walked with God? Would your name even be there? Would your life be defined by following everyone else or by taking God absolutely serious? Noah walked with God. This means that Noah trusted God enough to reach his hand out and walk with him. He didn't just look at God from a distance and make an educated decision to believe in his existence. If Noah walked with God, it means that Noah absolutely trusted that God was with him. Noah feared the Lord. He respected God. He loved God. He identified his own life with God. Noah chose God over what his own culture chose. God did not ignore Noah. He did not abandon Noah. God identified that Noah loved and trusted him, and God rewarded Noah for his faith by taking care of him and his family. Now drop down with me to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now faith is trusting in something that you cannot see. Our Christian forefathers accepted the promise of what would come. They did not have it in their hand when they died, but they trusted that God would provide it, as God assured them in Scripture that they would have a place in heaven. Look with me at verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now let's consider what God has promised to mankind. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Those that believe in Jesus Christ will have everlasting life. But this belief is not just book knowledge. This belief is directly tied to fearing the Lord. This is genuine trust that Jesus came to the earth from heaven to live as a man, though absolutely perfect and sinless, and went to the cross to pay your sin debt so that you were not cast into hell. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 5, 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Even though we are all undeserving of Christ's life being given for us, he still allowed his life to be sacrificed so that we had a way directly to God. 1 John 1, 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, we are promised that our sins will be forgiven if we simply confess them before the Lord and let them go, striving for God's righteousness instead. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Faith is putting into action these things that you are invited to trust and believe in, just as our forefathers have done. Our faith in Christ begins when we put our trust in what we read on the pages in Scripture. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I want you to think for me today. Imagine for a moment. I have this chair here. Imagine that this chair is the visual embodiment of Jesus' sacrifice, his forgiveness for us, and salvation from our sins. All you have to do is accept Jesus' free gift of salvation is to sit in the chair. Sitting in the chair identifies your absolute trust in Jesus. It is putting your faith into action. Now, many people will see this chair from a distance, and they'll claim their belief. They'll claim their belief in the chair. The idea that they know of Jesus, they've heard of him, they believe that he was a real person in historical figures. They understand that he existed and they believe in his existence. Others will come near the chair and identify that they too believe. In fact, they believe so much that they have changed some things in their life to be more loving and caring because of their belief in this chair. Because of their belief in Jesus, knowing him from an educated point of view, they think of him and they say, "You know what, he was such a good person, I can be a good person too." And so they change some aspects of their life because of the embodiment of Jesus. Others still reach out and they'll go as far as to touch the chair. They go to church. They want the relationship with Christ. They believe in his existence, but something's holding them back. Perhaps it's a feeling, or they just haven't sorted out whether or not a part of Jesus' life or his death is something that they can really believe in. They identify with Jesus in a way but they refuse to put their full faith in him. They will trust Christ far enough to come near to him, but they will not trust him enough to accept his salvation. They will touch the chair, but they won't have enough faith in Jesus to sit in it. Jesus spoke about this problem with adults in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Verses 14 through 15, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Jesus recognized a significant difference between children believing in what is true and adults believing. And do you know what the problem is with adults? They overthink things. They determine that they have to solve the secrets of the universe before they will believe in them, instead of simply trusting that someone greater than them has the answers, and they simply need to follow by faith. The Apostle Paul liked to use everyday people as an illustration for biblical things. If any of you have read the book of Ephesians, you may be familiar with his description of the armor of God, all the while showing it from a soldier's perspective. In the military, the soldier is given the order by the commander. When the soldier is given the order, he doesn't stop to consider whether or not he believes it, or consider how he might feel about it before proceeding. No, the soldier understands that the commander has a lot more knowledge about what is going on, where the enemy is, what needs to be done next, then he does it. So the soldier responds by trusting his commander and following the order. Now, God knows every detail of your life, down to how many hairs are on your very arm today. He knows everything about everything that has ever existed, and he knows what is going to happen in the future. Your life is one small piece in a giant puzzle, and he knows exactly how each piece fits together perfectly. God is the only one in the whole universe that is absolutely trustworthy and who will never go against his word. And yet some of you today may still be saying in your mind, "But what if?" You may be holding back today because you just don't trust him. Faith is simple. Don't overthink it. Trust as Noah trusted. Who didn't know what would happen next? He didn't know. He put his whole faith and trust in God. And what did God do? He took care of him. He provided for him. Now, God wants to provide for you too. You simply have to choose to trust in him once and for all. Look today, I'm sitting down in the chair. I'm taking that salvation. It's that simple. It really is. Setting your own big ideas aside and placing your complete faith once and for all in Jesus Christ. Salvation can be yours today by simply accepting it by faith. Now, for those who have genuine salvation, that is great. Praise the Lord. But let me ask you this. How is your daily trust in God going? Are you trusting in him to get you through your day, or is your trust in yourself? Or maybe it's in another person, or a particular relationship, maybe a particular job. Think about it. Is there any item in life, even something you hold in your hand that you demand to have, that you need outside of the Lord? Now, if we are truly walking by faith, then we should be able to trust God in all things. That we need nothing outside of Him. Faith gets difficult when we put our wants before God, but the reality is that faith is just as simple as sitting in the chair. Where will you place your faith today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God and Holy Father, I pray for the people today. I pray for those listening. I pray for those that are here that are focused on You, that are here to learn about the genuine scriptural truths of Your Word. I know that those that are here want to have a genuine relationship with You. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come to church. There's no reason to come unless people want to know You and want to know more about You. I pray, Lord, for those that are stuck, trusting in themselves, trusting in an idea, not able to draw their attention away from the what ifs and sitting in that chair for their salvation. I pray, Lord, that You would help them, guide them away from their inclinations to try to figure it out on their own, to faith. Lord, help us to have faith as a child that will learn and take these things in and trust without overthinking things. Lord, I pray for those who do not have Your genuine salvation today, that this would be a new day for them, that they would put their faith and trust in You, and once and for all, trust You and move forward, trusting in You every single day. I pray, Lord, for those who have already accepted You as Lord and personal Savior, who trust in You, who have Your salvation, who are sitting in the chair. I pray, Lord, for their daily struggle in this world full of negative influencers. I pray, Lord, that You would help them not to follow the negative ways, but I pray, Lord, instead that they would trust in You wholeheartedly every single day. Help them to put themselves off and let go of whatever they think is right, to instead trust in You completely. And Lord, help us to remember our forefathers, like Noah, who came before us, and during a time when no one else around him was trusting in You, he still continued to place his faith and trust in God. And that God showed Himself, He revealed Himself to Noah. He took care of Noah. He provided for Noah. Lord, You don't ask us to trust in You and then You never reveal Yourself to us. You ask us to trust, and when we trust, You reveal Yourself over and over and over again. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, help us not to give You a chance in life. Help us to instead submit to You wholeheartedly. Change our hearts and our minds and our lives today to be closer to You, to be more like You. And I pray, Lord, that this week we would go out and sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let Christ ever be present in our lives and let other people see it. In Your name I pray these things. Amen.